This is ALR Podcast.
Well, I'm here with Glenn, recording for the first time for the This is ALR Podcast. And I wanted to ask Glenn what it's all about, because I'm wondering myself, and I'm wondering how I got involved with it in the first place.
Well, This is ALR is a new podcast for both ALR and Jura, which a group of us got together, and we were obviously looking for people who would be interested in joining us, and your name came up. So this is how you volunteered yourself to join us, which we are very grateful for. So the project got together once we got the bodies, as you always say, and we have a good team together. So this is us, as you said earlier, with the new podcast, and we're now recording at the ALR High School. Podcasts are, new, and I believe you get them through the internet. Initially, we did think about having an ALR radio, but after consultation with people who understand these things, it was suggested that we do a podcast. So this is where This is ALR Podcast was born.
Well, I think we're almost fully dilated. We're not quite there yet. And I suppose we may have to edit some of this as we go along. But I think you're right. In the old days, you know, there used to be community radio and hospital radios. But now it's much easier for people to access podcasts, whether they're on ALR, as long as they have broadband and access to the internet. And ALR and Jura have a lot of fans around the world. You know, going from, it's interesting to imagine that in the 19th century, the population of ALR was about 15,000. And now, year-round, there are only about 3,000 residents. But we have many, many people who come to ALR for different reasons, whether it's whiskey, the birds, lots of people with connections to ALR. And This is ALR Podcast is going to be the opportunity to highlight some of those individuals, the places, the connections that go from ALR and Jura all the way around the world. So I'm very happy to be a part of it.
I would, with the comments you've made, I would agree that there are a lot of people around the world who are always interested to know what's going on ALR and Jura. And basically what we as a group were thinking about is that we would look more at the community involvement, people, places, and events that make ALR as rich as it is. To keep away from roads, ferries, infrastructure. I appreciate that these things are important both to both islands. But however, we do have a local newspaper on ALR and Jura, which is the Ealach, and also the Jura Jotters. So anything that is current, as one might put it, will be in the papers. Admittedly, they go out once a fortnight. We, however, are going to look more at what people on ALR are doing, which is never or may not be mentioned in either newspaper, but could be on Facebook, could be on the community website. For example, there's the book festival, there's the Countalina festival, there's the food festival, and I'm sure there are other things of importance to the community of the ALR and people out with the island, which would be more interested than some of the stuff that is produced on the newspaper. I don't know, I might be wrong on this, but I think we are going to try and concentrate on the culture and heritage of the island, of both islands. You have, for example, at the moment, the ALR Community Access Group, which is in the process of working with a local contractor plus a local architect regarding the path between Bacladi and Port Charlotte, which the school will be involved in. And then you also have a new path in line between Bamore and the Gaelic Centre. So these are things that are coming on board, which we can follow through if we do a podcast once a month. But there are other projects happening which sometimes you don't read about, but you hear about. And it would be nice for people who are not on the island to know what is going on. Again, there are digs going on. There's archaeologists on the island. So there are more interesting things that we hear about but don't get to know about, or is it we know about but we don't hear about? You could play those words. I don't know, like yourself, as a newcomer to the island, you do see things that are happening, but they're not reported. Or somebody says, for example, the children are away to the Mod. The Mod gets covered by the television. It gets in the Eilidh, but nobody ever speaks to the students and asks them what they think. And this is where we could come in to talk to the students, play some music, record some of the music that they did at the Mod, and also the senior Mod again. So you've got two Mods. We hear about them, but I don't know. I always feel that we don't do enough to let the community know how they sound, what they did, how the students enjoyed the visit, what they gained from it, what experience they have learned. These are thoughts that we have on our minds. We've just literally, as I said earlier, a babe in arms moving, growing. We've been discussing it for a year, and these, they always say, like money, it doesn't grow on trees. It takes time, patience, and we want to get everything so that it's all done for the island, and that we do it, correctly, legally, I don't know if that's the word. Some of the things we're still to look at is an editorial board complying and broadcasting the podcast. We are aiming at a monthly publication eventually. But we'll also, at the same time, we'll be looking for people like ourselves to get involved by, as you have said, by contributing to the podcast or by helping with the production of the podcast.
And I think it's important to, you know, you give a different voice, a different depth to the same story. And I should say, it's not just about us talking to people. It's about getting more people involved to participate with the podcast group so they can interview some of their friends, their colleagues, other people from the community. And that makes it even a stronger voice of the community.
I think it's true what you say. We are two separate islands, but we work together. There are a lot of things happening. We want to involve as many people on the island as we can. We also want to involve the high school and the local schools, Port Ellen, Bamore, Port Charlotte, Keels, so that the younger generation become involved, because this is more there. We're used to pen and paper. They're now used to computers, podcasts.
I have to say, I mean, it's interesting. This is our first time we're sitting in the recording studio at Islay High School in Bowmore, and we appreciate the support of the IT department and the music department, and Harry O'Farrell's in the booth with us, recording every decibel possible. and he'll be responsible probably for editing this after we're done. But we want to get as many people as we can involved with the project. Isla and Jura, there's such a wealth in the community of people, experiences. And as Glenn mentioned already, the different events that are, you know, some of them have been fixed in the Isla calendar for centuries, and others are relatively. So every July, people know that there's a chamber music group that visits Isla and spends time with the community, providing evening concerts and other events during their stay on the island. But that's just one of many. There's a jazz festival. There's the whiskey festival, of course. So lots of people only know one aspect of Isla. And the goal of This Is Isla podcast is to give different voices to different aspects of the community.
Well, Joe, this has been a very interesting afternoon. And for, as you say, for first time recorders or podcasters, it has been an experience. I've enjoyed it. We've been very well looked after by the high school. And closing remarks are always very difficult, but we do hope that anybody out there would like to get involved by contributing to a podcast or by helping with the production of the podcast would contact us on radio at thisisisla.co.uk. I think we have learned something, and hopefully we can go from strength to strength. And I'm sure you will have a few appropriate words to say. So I hand the mic back to you.
Well, Glenn, I'm certainly glad I came to the meeting this afternoon, but I wasn't expecting to be in the studio with you. But it's been a pleasure, and I think we're just getting through the first hump, if you like, to get our first podcast on the air. And I look forward to meeting many people from the community and spreading the word of Isla, Jura, and its community around the world.
In August, Glenn Roberts went to the Isla show and spoke to first MSP Brendan O'Hara, then show announcer Ian Gibson.
Always a pleasure to be on Isla, particularly on a day like today. The show looks as if it's going like a fair. The weather's good, and I'm thoroughly looking forward to be here. The crowds have turned out, which was always a given, but in this weather, you know, it looks like a fun day is going to be had by all. Let's hope so.
Lovely. Thank you very much for
my
that.
My pleasure.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Glenn, to be involved with the show as the announcer for the last, 10, 13 years or something like that. I followed on from a guy called Jim Davis, who did it for many years, and really set the benchmark. He did a lot of announcing around the island. And set the standard, and certainly did as far as the show is concerned. It's always good to be involved. There's a big crowd. There's a big crowd here today. You try and impart as much information as you can and as you are given to let people know what's going on. And you try and impart a sense of fun because it's a fun day out. So if I can find somebody in the crowd who is outrageously dressed or doing outrageous things, it's always a pleasure to draw it to everybody's attention. And the joy of being the man behind the microphone is that even if there's a right of reply, it's never as loud as the comment I made initially, which is why I have to do as much announcing on the island as I possibly can, because if anybody else gets a chance to have their hand on the microphone and I'm in the crowd, then I just feel revenge would be sweet. The show this year, the layout of the field is slightly different. It covers a much wider area, and a consequence of that is that you're not feeling that the crowd is as big. But I think, on reflection, that it's bigger than usual, perhaps because the day is so good, perhaps because there are more visitors to the island. I think there are more exhibitors this year, and that brings out the farming families. it's just wonderful to see a show which has been going on for 173 years being so well supported, A, by the island community, and B, by tourists and visitors, and long may it continue.
Ian, as always, you're a gem of information. I don't know what the island would do without you. And long may you last, especially on Isla and especially at the show.
Be a lot quieter anyway. Right?
Now, before we rant on any more, we're now going offline. Thank you again, Ian. We are very much appreciated.
And finally, we have an interview with Ella Edgar, an award-winning Highland dance teacher.
Can I say, when I started up teaching Highland dancing, there was no such thing as a MacTaggart Leisure Centre. The girls didn't play football. They didn't play rugby. The horse riding wasn't as popular as it is now. So Highland dancing was quite a main activity in those days, and I had a lot of boys going through my hands. Not all of them stuck it to very many years of it, but they all had a go at it, and they all tried it. So from going back 50 years ago, right through the 50 years I've been teaching it, there's been quite a lot of changes in Highland dancing. Years ago, when I danced myself, which was more than 50 years ago, you were an individual dancer, and you danced the steps that you wished to dance. And as time has gone on, Highland dancing has become very standardised throughout the world, so that you are all dancing the same steps, particularly when it comes to championships. You are told the steps you have to dance, and everybody has to dance it in the same method. So I would say Highland dancing has become standardised, as against being an individual displaying the steps as you wished them to be displayed yourself. I went from having classes of 140 to the present day, where I have maybe 47 in a class. And that has shown that there are other activities on the island which have taken away from Highland dancing. But nonetheless, Highland dancing has been very popular and has continued to be very popular, and you won't be surprised to know that I have reached my third generation of teaching children Highland dancing. Travel being easier now, and ferries instead of the old boats, and Loganair giving us more flights, travel to the mainland and further afield is much more accessible. My dancers have been recognised and taken part in tattoos in Switzerland, Germany, and America. And we dance at all the main competitions that we can within our reach. But this year, being a special year for myself, we went across to Canada. A group of 10 children and adults, and we excelled very well at three competitions. We did Glengarry Games, Glengarry Championships, and Montreal Games. And from these three games, we came away with three trophies. One was won in the championship, and a total of 72 medals from the 10 dancers. That shows the commitment that the parents have, as well as the children have, in wanting to show people what our culture is on the Scottish Islands. During my time teaching Highland dancing and Scottish country dancing on the island, I have taught members of our own royal family, also European royal family members and dignitaries from all over the world, who come onto our island and stay with the estate owners. Throughout the year, we perform at over 140 gigs on the island, which includes Cayleys, annual events. weddings, special birthdays, and lately we've formed great links with Ireland. We were twinned with Ireland many years ago, and three Highland dancers and some other artists from the island went across to Ballycastle, and we did a ceilidh, a Scottish ceilidh, amongst the Irish people who gave us an Irish night. Since then, we have now formed great links with Ireland. We've been to Donegal twice. We've been to Newry twice. And they want to come to Isla and do some Irish dancing. So hopefully that can be arranged in the future. But we've certainly got strong links with Ireland, and it's fantastic that the Irish are doing Highland dancing now that they never ever did before. They always stuck to their Irish dancing, but now they enjoy the Highland dancing, and they're coming over here to compete in Scotland, as well as the Scottish people are going over to Ireland to compete in Highland dancing. So it's a great link for the island.
In this episode, we heard the voices of Greg Barker, Glenn Roberts and Julian Thurgood from This Is Isla, in conversation with each other and with Ella Edgar, Ian Gibson and Brendan O'Hara. We would also like to thank Ishbel Capper for her inspiration and guidance, Michael Donnelly for his assistance, Isla High School and in particular Craig Weatherhog, Russell Pollock, Greg Barker and Harry O'Farrell for allowing us to access their recording facilities and for their active support in producing this podcast. If you would like to get directly involved in developing future episodes of this podcast, please contact us by email on thisisila@gmail.com. I'm Sharon McHarry. You have been listening to This Is Isla, celebrating the people, places, events and connections which shape the island communities of Isla and Jura, and we invite you to join us again next time. Fáilte a chairteann, haghaidh géisteach rí This Is Isla le Sharon McHarry. That one was fine.
Cut.
Thank you for listening to this episode of This Is Isla podcast. Our theme song is Fifth Pound Cashback by Fraser Scott.